Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Choke Points: How the Global Economy Became a Weapon of War by Edward Fishman is a nonfiction analysis of modern economic statecraft and geopolitical conflict. Drawing on Fishman's experience in U.S. government sanctions policy, the book explains how the global economy has evolved into a field of strategic competition where finance, technology, shipping, and energy systems can be used to pressure rivals without conventional military force. Its core purpose is to show how the United States and its partners learned to turn key points of leverage into instruments of coercion, and how countries such as Russia, China, and Iran have responded by building alternatives. The book is both an account of recent foreign policy and a broader argument about the fragility of globalization. It helps readers understand why sanctions, export controls, and payment systems now matter as much as tanks or trade agreements in shaping international power. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, how choke points turn economic dominance into geopolitical leverage. A central idea in the book is that certain parts of the global economy are so concentrated that they can be used as pressure points against other states. Fishman uses the term choke points to describe domains in which one country or a small group of allies controls a critical node and substitutes are not readily available in the short term. That can include the US dollar, which remains central to trade and finance, as well as clearing networks, insurance markets, and advanced semiconductor supply chains. The analytical value of this idea is that it explains coercion without relying on traditional military power. If a country depends on these systems, then access can be restricted, delayed, or denied in ways that impose real economic pain. The book's larger point is that modern power often lies not in owning everything, but in controlling the narrow points where global flows must pass. Secondly, the rise of sanctions as a primary tool of U.S. foreign policy. Fishman treats sanctions not as a niche legal device, but as one of the defining instruments of 21st century American power. The book traces how successive U.S. administrations increasingly used financial restrictions, export controls, tariffs, and price caps to respond to crises involving Iran, Russia, and China. What makes this important is that sanctions are effective only because of the architecture of globalization itself. The United States can exclude targets from dollar-based finance, deny them access to American technology, or pressure firms and insurers that sit inside allied networks. Fishman shows that this system often works through bureaucracy, law, and coordination rather than spectacle. That perspective matters because it reframes sanctions as a sophisticated statecraft tool with both strategic advantages and serious limits. They can isolate adversaries quickly, but overuse may also push other countries to build workarounds and reduce their dependence on US-controlled systems. Thirdly, inside the institutions that make economic warfare possible, the book stands out because it explains the machinery behind economic coercion rather than treating sanctions as abstract policy announcements. Fishman draws on his own background in government to show how diplomats, lawyers, treasury officials, and technical experts design and implement these measures. The process involves legal authority, interagency coordination, financial intelligence, and detailed knowledge of markets and supply chains. This institutional focus is important because economic warfare is rarely the result of a single dramatic decision. It depends on persistent administrative work and close cooperation with private actors such as banks, insurers, shipping firms, and technology companies. By revealing these mechanisms, the book demystifies a field that often appears opaque to the public. It also shows that power in the modern economy is exercised through rules, compliance systems, and infrastructure standards, as much as through overt political declarations. Fourthly, why globalization is fragmenting into competing economic blocs. Another major theme is the erosion of the post-Cold War ideal that deeper interdependence would reduce conflict. Fishman argues that once globalization became a source of leverage, it also became a source of fear. States began to worry that the same networks that made trade efficient also made them vulnerable to coercion. The result is a new pattern of fragmentation. Countries seek alternatives to the dollar, payment systems, chip supply chains, and Western-dominated financial channels. The book highlights how Russia, China, and others have invested in parallel institutions and trade routes to reduce exposure. This is not presented as a clean break from globalization, but as a slower process of decoupling, hedging, and strategic redundancy. The significance of this trend is that economic integration is no longer seen only as mutual benefit. It is also a battlefield where states try to protect themselves from future pressure. Lastly, the strategic risks of a world built around economic weapons. Fishman does not present economic warfare as a purely successful or cost-free strategy. A major implication of the book is that the same tools that give the United States enormous influence can also undermine the system that makes that influence possible. If sanctions, chip restrictions, and payment controls become too broad or too frequent, targeted states and even allies may search harder for substitutes. Over time, that can weaken U.S. dominance in finance and technology by encouraging parallel infrastructure and reduce trust in existing networks. The book therefore treats economic warfare as a high-leverage but potentially self-defeating form of power. It is effective precisely because global systems are interconnected, yet that interconnectedness also makes them fragile. This tension gives the book much of its analytical force. It explains not only how the United States uses its advantages, but also why those advantages may be harder to preserve in the future. In conclusion, Choke Points should be read by anyone interested in geopolitics, sanctions policy, international business, finance, or the future of globalization. It is especially useful for policymakers, investors with cross-border exposure, executives in technology, shipping, banking, and energy, and general readers who want to understand why economic policy now sits at the center of global conflict. The book offers practical value by clarifying how sanctions and export controls work, what makes them powerful, and where their limits begin. It also provides intellectual value by connecting seemingly separate domains such as the dollar system, semiconductor supply chains, maritime insurance, and payment networks into one coherent framework. What distinguishes it from many books on foreign policy is its insider perspective combined with accessible explanation. Fishman writes as someone who has worked inside the sanction system, but the book is not just memoir or policy commentary. It is a broad account of how modern power operates through infrastructure and rules rather than force alone. That makes it one of the clearest guides to the new age of economic warfare. If you would like to support Edward Fishman, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.